Good morning. Welcome. We're back at it. TM New Home Connection. Co-host Price. Hi.
Present.
Good. Present and participating.
Present and participating. No Jared today.
No, it's just us. We're going to handle it. Good. We have a guest today, though, and I'm excited for you to introduce him.
I am so excited about this guest because I do not know much about this guest.
Ooh. Prepare for excitement.
All I know is the signature look.
There is a look.
Yes.
Yes. So this could be a guest like where we wouldn't even have to introduce him. We just show like a silhouette and people could probably guess. But I like that because I'm all about the branding. Yes.
That's it.
Okay.
That's the way to be.
I am so here for this branding. It's so unique. Now, if I butcher your last name, I apologize because I know what that's like coming from having an atrocious maiden name. But I'm going to do my absolute best.
Good news is you can't offend me ever. So that's the best part.
I might get it right, though.
Okay.
So today we have Matthew Reibenstein.
You did
nailed it. Nailed
it.
I agree. That deserves a clap right
that
there.
That does.
A plus for a Friday.
I'm just used to saying names that have every letter of the alphabet. So why don't you introduce the title?
Oh, I don't have a title. I just know him as Matthew Reibenstein, which his current title is the president of GHBA. And for those of you that aren't familiar with GHBA, it is the Greater Houston Builder Association. We have the president here.
That's me.
Thank you for joining us.
Sure, thank
you. We know you're super busy because you're having to be everywhere all the time.
Yes.
So we're going to steal about just an hour of your day.
All good. I'm here for you.
Thank you.
So excited. Well, I want to go through your LinkedIn and maybe talk through a couple of your past lives.
Sure.
If that's okay.
Sure.
So
I'm scared to know what's on LinkedIn.
That's so funny.
That's a bigger concern as we talked about. Phones have been around for a little while. Now I'm nervous.
Well,
thanks
so
for getting me nervous.
Honestly, there isn't too much on your LinkedIn.
That's
awesome. It does start out though with an Aggie.
That's right. Fighting Texas Aggie class 2006.
There you go. So I guess let's start there. Tell us about A&M and
what led you there?
Yeah. Sure. So are you from College Station?
Nope. I'm actually from Houston. So born and raised in Houston. Lived
are
in Jersey
really?
Village.
Yep. Oh, Jersey Village.
JV. Born in Heights Hospital. So
Wow. Let
all that sink in. So yeah, we moved out to Jersey Village when I was a little young kid. Went to Jersey Village High School, stayed there my whole life, and always dreamed of being an Aggie. I've come from a long line of Aggies in my family. So that was natural.
This was a family thing.
This was a family. I tell everybody, I didn't actually know, so this will make you laugh. We had season tickets, still do, and went to go to all the games at Kyle Field as a kid.
Yes.
And funny enough, I did not know that the schools we were playing as football teams were actually schools. I thought A&M was where you just went because I was ingrained so early.
Oh.
So A&M's the only school.
So the little school in Austin, I thought was just a football team. So until I was probably the ripe age of 8, 9, or 10 before I realized, oh, they actually have a campus with
a whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So that'll tell you how I started. So by that point I was in.
Okay. You were committed.
Fully committed. In fact, there's a story. I literally applied to one school as a junior in high school and it was A&M. I put all my eggs in one basket.
There you go.
And you got in. So it worked.
Yeah. I think God just felt bad for me. So gotta get him in.
This is a risk, and I'm glad you took it because it was rewarding, and you got your degree in civil engineering.
I did. So I wanted to do architecture. I did 4 years. I'm the only football player in Jersey Village history that I know of that took 4 years of drafting. So I loved drafting. I loved architecture. I loved everything with houses. Even as a kid, I kind of knew that was something that I enjoyed. And so crazy enough, I would sit there in these classes, and then in my senior year, now, mind you, this is before, I'm going to date myself here, before iPhones, before Google.
Yes.
Before the ability for you to really find out.
Yeah.
And I had a neighbor that lived on my street, an older guy, and he said, hey, what do you want to do in college? And I said, I think I'm going to go to architecture. And he said, look, the problem is everybody's going to start designing their own homes. You're going to get stuck in commercial. You really should think about engineering. Sounds good. So I scanned my bubble on my Scantron, or I changed the bubble, sent it to A&M. And next thing I know, I get admitted to the Dwight Look College of Engineering. And, I show up my freshman year going, what does an engineer do? No idea.
My neighbor told me I should do this.
So you remind you, I didn't have Google though. So I really didn't quite know until I showed up that, oh, wow. And then I found that they have, you know, all these different paths within civil engineering. And so I went to land development. So I specialize in land development.
Very interesting.
So God just had us a funny way of doing things.
So, okay. Made it through college.
Yeah. Luckily, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I think I wore them down more than anything.
And they're like, we just need to usher him
here's
out.
Here's your ring. Here's your piece of paper. Go.
You've done your part. You may be excused. Yeah. Where did you go after that? So what was your path?
I went to McKinney, Texas. Took a fantastic job up there. Worked for an incredible guy. In fact, it's somebody I really look up to still to this day. And work was Pogue Engineering and Development. So got to work on a little bit of the residential side, but a lot of commercial. Mm-hmm. And what I found is, as an engineer, I'm not your typical engineer. And I remember the exact day that I went in and tried to talk to, and I'll be nice about it because I'm sure there's other engineers that watch this. I'll go in and talking about this LSU football game that we just came from. Now, mind you, my wife and I still had season tickets. So we drove down.
That is not an engineer conversation.
No, they're talking about a LAN party. Yes. And I didn't know what a LAN party was. It's where you hook your computers up and have gaming and all this stuff. And I mean, literally, we just had the biggest LSU game ever. And
video games?
Y'all
video
are not games. The same. Wait,
which video games?
I don't know.
You'll have to ask an engineer please call in about these land parties that y'all have.
Is this like Grand Theft Auto?
No, I'm sure it's more like a, I mean,
Tetris. It would be like a Tetris-y type.
It's probably one of those Sims where you build a community.
Yes,
they
it probably
own
is.
Farmland.
So keep in mind, it's 2008, right? So we're still kind of, we're in the middle of this recession thing and all this other stuff. And I just remember that moment of going, these are not my people, because none of them knew that A&M had even played LSU.
No.
So I said, I remember going home to my wife, who at the time we'd only been married probably about a year. And I'm like, I just don't see this happening.
Okay, wait. So time out, because we do have to give a shout out to your wife, who I adore. Did y'all meet at A&M?
Nope. We actually met. She also went to Georgia Village High School. So we were not high school sweethearts, though.
Oh.
See, I got all happy. We've had a trend of that lately. Y'all broke the trend. So y'all were not high school sweethearts. You just knew each other.
We were 2 years apart. I went home. The only summer I think I really went home and met her at a party. And I was not a
land party.
Not a land party. I was not really a drinker at all. I went all through college without ever drinking alcohol, and just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a high school party back home, and there she was. And I remember thinking, wow, this girl doesn't act crazy, doesn't this. She was just playing pool. We played pool all night. And I was already told to not have a high school girlfriend in college. And I went back to college and told the guys all about this girl. And, you know, nothing really ever came of it. Never got her number. She's probably too nervous to ask. Went home during Christmas time, had seen her again. And then that summer when I came home to meet with a friend, and we had met actually at Sam Houston Race Park. I took her to a deal. So July 4th is technically when we kind of had our first little, it wasn't really a date. It was more of we mutual friends got us together kind of a thing. And it was like, wow, this is the girl that I saw months and months ago that I talked about at college, you know, to my buddies. And here we are and have not stopped dating since. So that was when I was 19, and she was technically a week before she turned 17. So she was 16 when we met.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I was like, I don't want to go any longer without seeing her. And I thought she had a boyfriend. So like any good kid would do, I said, hey, we're all going to the lake this weekend. We had a jet ski. And I said, we're all going to the lake. Do you want to come? And if you know you need to bring somebody, you can. And trying to be you know, nice about it.
Yes.
We weren't really going to the lake that weekend. There's the funny part of that story.
Wait, where did you take her? Sounds scary.
He figured it out.
I came up with it on the fly because that's what builders do. We just come up with everything on the fly.
Yeah, he's a salesperson.
But literally an hour after we left, I'm on the phone with all my roommates, my buddy, anybody I can think of.
Who has a lake house this weekend.
You're going to Somerville with me this weekend. Why are we going? You have to go. We're all going.
It's my first date.
And I was like, yeah.
It's my first date.
So nobody has
a
clue that it's because I told this girl that we were going to the lake. So I had to come through with it now. And she ended up showing up, and that was really when she said, you know, I don't really have a boyfriend. And next thing you know, 21 years later,
you're like,
here we
yes,
are.
Yes, you do.
So we'll be 21 years on technically July 4th. So
aww. I like how thorough that first date was too. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to like back yeah. in my day, we would like party in fields.
Yes.
So it was same. Like, oh yeah, you didn't like come up with a field party. It was a Somerville lake, yeah, well, jet skis,
we had
friends.
Planned.
I mean, that's very thing. Thorough.
We had yeah. a plan. And this will really date the whole thing to make it even better. Do y'all remember AOL Instant Messenger?
Oh, yeah, AIM.
Okay, so AIM was, we didn't have texting then.
Yeah.
And so we went home that night, and of course, I'm on cloud nine, she's on cloud nine. And what did we do? We got on AIM, and we talked for hours and hours and hours.
I love this.
And out of some weird, now, I don't ever want it to get seen. It was shown at my wedding, but I saved it for some reason. Our conversation's about 18 pages long. And it's the goofiest, like, what's your favorite color? What do you, you know?
Oh,
you know,
like the 21 goes. Questions. Right, right. Like,
so at my wedding, though, it did surface somehow. Somebody's got a copy of it. And so that was our first long AIM conversation.
So, what was your
hours.
AIM screen name?
Gosh, I don't even remember.
Oh, but it's printed. What is it?
I remember hers.
What's hers?
KTE something, because her name's Katie, and it's KTE.
You don't remember something. Yours? It wasn't like cowboy hat.
I don't think so. There's no telling with me.
Do you remember what yours was?
A lot of.
I don't think I had that. Again, I'm older than y'all. This was not that.
You didn't use AIM and have away messages? And
No. So we aren't even, this isn't about me and how old I am. But nonetheless.
That's how we learned to use emojis. That was the origination of emojis.
That was and you would create them like.
No, it was the beeper, the pager, and you had to do the different numbers and symbols
now
for
I know
emojis.
You and I are in the same era. That's good.
I had a beeper. Yeah. But I also had AOL and AIM.
I love that y'all are calling it beeper and not pager.
Beeper. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Interchangeable.
And you had the cute even. Covers to
yes.
go on.
Yeah, you did have the cute.
On your belt loop.
Yeah, you had like the little, yes. little like clip on your
Don't
belt.
Don't look at us like we're weird.
Do you even know what a beeper
do
is?
I was going to say, do you know what this is?
They do not. The audience does not.
You don't
not.
Know what a beeper is? Stop it right now. I am your grandma.
Then I'm the great grandma.
Oh, you're like, no. I've seen one on the interweb.
I've seen one.
The TikTok, vintage TikTok.
Do they have memes about it now or whatever?
When they're antiquing.
I remember like you could get like messages on the beeper that were like coded. Like yes. You could make numbers
That's
look like
saying.
Words.
That's where emojis yeah. started. Because yeah, like, you had to do like.
Well, how else did you communicate?
That was how. I mean, well, or the folded notes that yeah. were folded up into mm-hmm. the cute little triangles.
Oh, where you did like a dun, yes. dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So okay.
Now we're dating all
you
of us.
You and yes. Katie were in McKinney. You were doing an engineer job. Yep. You were not like them.
I had worked for another engineering company that did also construction. And I just found that I correlated better with the guys in the job site trailers. And I loved being on the job sites. It was fun for me. It was exciting. Yeah. And anybody, no offense to engineers, knows anything about this. What happens in the real world does not really happen on black and white a
no,
lot of times.
Never.
Especially in the world of drainage, a.k.a. Welcome to Houston, where... You know, when you really want to see what drainage is doing, you don't look at a piece of paper. You go out and look at the job site.
Correct.
Because it's going to tell you what the drainage is doing.
That's the right kind of land party to have on the land.
That was
We're having a drainage meeting.
Yes.
On site.
Correct.
Bring your cameras.
Yes.
So I just found that my lot in life was going to be more construction related because I enjoy that process more than I enjoy the upfront. Mm-hmm. You know, working on the site plan type stuff.
Yeah, the back end.
So what then, because I remember when you walked into my model home, how did y'all get from there to, you're like, we're coming back to Houston.
Well, since we're both from Houston, we knew that we want to start a family at some point. And the reality was, if we're going to do this, we want to have our families close by. So we want to have, you know, our family is very involved. And it was more or less... We love it up here. We love being here, but we were on an island. You know, everybody would have to drive 3.5 hours to come see us.
Yeah.
We also are big Aggies, so it was a
drive
every
to
weekend
get to the game.
For us. Yeah. And so when we were probably a lot more dedicated pre-kid than we are now, but we did not miss football games. And we rarely, I mean, we went to a lot of baseball games, so we were down here a lot.
That was a lot of driving.
We loved it. Yeah, it was a lot of driving. So. We did. I mean, all of our friends and family were still down here. So it was every weekend. And at that point in life, you know, everybody's getting married every weekend. So then we're coming down for weddings.
Yeah.
We're coming down for everything. And I'm like, gosh, we're spending as much money on fuel as we are on mortgage.
Yeah.
So we knew we needed to make a shift. And I had decided that before we really get our roots down and have a family and have a business and have other things, let's do it now. Like, this is the time to do it.
To make the move.
And so funny enough, I actually heard a, we talked about it for a while, and I heard a podcast, which is like the earliest podcast.
Wait, I'm like, there was not a...
The earliest form of podcast probably came around this era. So
when was this?
2008 going into 9.
There were podcasts back then. Maybe it was YouTube.
I don't know.
It was like a YouTube show.
Yeah, it was different. You know, you listened to it. You could start streaming things about that point in life, but it was very early on. And I mean, iPhones had just come out. So I think we were still on iPhone 3s at that moment. So
I had an iPhone 3.
I've never had an iPhone.
I had an iPhone 3.
That's another story for another day.
Yeah, continue. I kind of want to.
I know.
Hear that
I, one. You can give her a side eye. We all do.
So are you against them?
I do. I will not have an iPhone.
Oh.
She messes up all of our group chats whenever we send pictures and videos.
I make it all extra.
You're that person.
And then the bubbles are green.
I want people to know when I have arrived in a group chat
and mess up the whole thing.
Green like my mushrooms right here. Okay, so you were listening to a podcast.
So this is, you know, for those that don't remember what 2008 and 9 looked like, pretty rough years.
It was very rough years.
Scary.
In Texas
in the market.
Across the country. And we had built our home up there, and it was a nice home, but it was in a newer neighborhood in Melissa, which is just north of McKinney. It's where we could afford. And now Melissa, I actually served on planning and zoning in Melissa and as a 20-something-year-old kid. And now it has a Buc-ee's. So if you haven't been to Melissa in a while.
Really?
It's big now.
It's big time.
Yeah. They've got a huge stadium now, just like everybody else up there. So long story short, I heard this podcast and it talked about, as Christians, we say we have faith in Jesus, but do we walk the walk that we talk the talk? And I remember thinking, you know, how often we've said we need to move. We should be moving. But my wife was a teacher. How do we make that move? I'm trying to start a business and I'm transitioning out of engineering to go into this world. We talk about it, but like, what's the plan? There's no real great plan. And anybody who's ever been in this time of life, there is no plan.
No.
You just
have to get uncomfortable.
Yeah. Real fast.
Yes.
And I remember that moment.
No plans.
Hearing it on the way to San Marcos. And I heard this, we'll call it a podcast. Now I need to go find it.
You do.
But it talked a lot about that is as Christians, do we ever just say, Jesus, I really put my faith in you and I'm going to go make the things happen that need to happen. And I know you're going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we say, hey, I'm gonna give you my faith, but I'm really going to hang on to it and do it my way.
But I'm going to keep up with my plan because I'm comfortable here.
Yeah. So we had our house in the market. And at that point, I think we'd had it about three or four months.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we had a single showing. Not one. I mean, it was just miserable because it was 2008 and 9.
Yeah.
And so I came down to Houston. My wife said, if we're going to make this move, you have to move in the summertime as a teacher. So she got an opportunity to come to Conroe ISD, and that puts us closer to our family. And I said, okay, let's go try this. I didn't really want to be in the Woodlands anyways, only because the Woodlands was so built out. So if I'm starting a construction business, let's look at other places north of the Woodlands and everything else.
Right.
So good fit for us. We came down the day that I met you.
This
is my crazy story in life. I love these days.
I was still in new home sales.
2008.
Yeah.
So I come down and I drop my wife off at the school for her interview with her, what would be then her principal. So she goes and has this interview. Meanwhile, I was kept thinking all week long about that podcast and like, how many times do we say we're going to do something, but we can't carry two mortgages. There's just no way. And I'm like, until I sell that house, I can't do anything here. So then I run into Christy. I happen to drive around the neighborhood that the school's in because I dropped my wife off. We drove the same car. And I meet Christy, and I'm like, this is a pretty lady who obviously knows what she's doing, and I like these houses. These will work. Like, these would totally work for us. They're not quite what we're used to having, but
I see where this is going. I see where this is going.
So, you know, being the husband that I am, I go and decide, that's a good house. It's a corner lot. I like it. How much do I have to put down?
Mm-hmm.
Christy gives me a number, and I pull out my checkbook. I go pick my wife up 2 hours later from her interview and say, by the way, I put money down on a house. You can imagine what words came out of her mouth after that.
And also for me, like hearing this story now, and again, because I remember, so I'm older than you. So this young man comes into my model, has a home to sell in the Dallas area, hasn't had any showings, doesn't, is going to be starting a new business. So it's contingent.
We had
a job we're unsure about, all these things that I'm like,
wife starting
sure,
a new job.
I'll take your earnest money. Absolutely.
So then I bring her back and she's like,
this
what
is the
do you
perfect
mean?
Storm to, a, what do to you the mean to hurricane.
This? And I'm like, babe, I'll show you the house. It's a corner house. It was like 75%.
It was a cute single story.
It was like almost there, 4-bedroom. And I was like, this is perfect. We're going to start a family. This is a great one to be in. And she's like, you know, we cannot afford a second mortgage. And I'm like, yeah, I just feel like God will provide. I was like, we're supposed to show faith. So if you're going to get this job, and I know that you will because you're a good teacher. And I'm like, so if you're going to get this job, and we're supposed to be here, it will all happen. But we have to show him that we're willing to take those steps too. And it's probably being eloquently said now. It probably wasn't so eloquent in that car that day because I took her back to the house and she's like, whatever. I can't believe we're doing this. And I don't remember if she met you that day. I think she might have met you.
I can't remember.
I don't know if it was that day or the next time she came in. Anyways, so here we are now as a young married couple. We're driving north another 3 hours. It was a quiet car ride. and I just remember telling her over and over, I think we're supposed to do this though. And here she's supposed to trust her husband, right? We've been married at that point 2 whole years. And she's supposed to trust this guy that I have it all together and I have not a clue what I'm doing. And I kid you not, we went through, y'all probably remember Corsicana, there's Collins Street Bakery.
Yes, mm-hmm. We don't know the bakery, but I know Corsicana.
We went through that bakery and we were just north of Corsicana and we get a phone call from a realtor and says, hey, we have a showing. Are y'all home? Nope. We won't be home for another 2 hours. Go knock your lights out. And she's like, I feel good about this one. Like, we haven't had a showing yet.
You're like, we feel great
sure,
about
whatever.
It.
We had a couple people make phone calls. We hadn't actually had a showing, I don't think, to that point. And next thing you know, she says, I think they're going to make an offer. Are you prepared to take less than what you got it listed for? And I'm like, I mean, at this point, like, I don't want to lose money, but if I could just break even, I'm good with it. So long story short, not only did they have issues buying our house because the people buying their house couldn't close. So I got to play. I paid that closing cost. I also agreed to pay the closing cost on my home just to get it out from under me. And then I had the closing cost on Christy's home. I paid 3 closing costs in a matter of like 2 weeks. But it got us down here.
Got them to the beautiful community of the Falls at Imperial Oaks. That was where they started their journey.
And then even crazier now, with our home pack at GHBA, which is our political action committee, who is co-chaired by Jim Holcomb, the developer of where we came from.
Yes.
Wow. Where we originally was in the Falls of
full circle.
So crazy, crazy, like how God works in mysterious ways. I've always said, like, you just can't make stories up that God can. Yeah. So there's my how we met.
Yes.
And next thing you know, I'm buying a house in
the
Falls.
Like, oh, yeah, this kid's going to start his own construction business. He's younger than me, moving here from outside of the city.
And we had a few cards against us.
I'm like, but look at him now. And so, okay, so tell us about you then wanted, obviously, your path was construction. Mm-hmm. And so how did you come up with then that journey and executing that?
Well, a lot of it's trade-based. You've got to get sales. B, you've got to have people who can execute. So like most small businesses, I worked out of that house in the Falls of Imperial Oaks.
Yes.
I had one of the 4 bedrooms because we didn't need all 4. when I first got here, though, because you have to kind of get into it, I actually worked for another builder and developer for a little bit here. And that allowed me to kind of get more trade-based, to see more of the stuff that I need to see, also to understand land prices around here because they're different than Dallas. Mm-hmm. You would think being in the same state, we would know.
Houston's different than any. They're all different.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, different from Austin,
really
different from.
You understand your market, you know, and that doesn't just happen overnight. I was surrounded by incredible people that offered to help every step of the way. A lot of selfless people saying, hey, cool, we can get this thing going. And so next thing you know, out of that little house, I started a construction company. And it's ironic because I joke all the time at that little garage. I can't tell you how many signs that we built that had my little name on it.
Aww.
And my wife would paint them. And I remember saying, I hope there's a day that, like, I don't have to do this. I hate
that you have someone else make your signs.
I'm driving my wife's car today because I have signs in the back of my truck that need to get installed. And I didn't feel like driving them all the way down here. And it's funny because I just go, normally I don't even pick them up. That's the first time I picked up signs in a while. But what I love about it is that my wife was always so like, we got this. She was my biggest cheerleader. Oh. She was the one that's like, I don't know what you're doing, but sounds good. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know,
she was in it.
The 24/7 work life that you have to start a company. You know, we had our first kid in 2011. So my son came around and admittedly I was there for just about as much as I could be. But I tell you, it takes a lot of perseverance from a married couple to start a business like that. And a lot of, we'll say patience. My wife's luckily got a lot of patience, but how many nights, you know, I'm sure she had dinner by herself because I'm trying to meet somebody or I'm trying to go do something. And if you're in sales at all, which y'all know, y'all know this, guess what? They don't call you conveniently at 1 p.m.
Oh, no.
It's never a convenient time. It's
7 a.m. and 8, 9, 10.
Friday, 8 midnight. O'clock. Hey, what you doing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing. Waiting on your phone call.
Yeah. So it's always Friday at 8 o'clock.
So my wife hung in there. So here we are. We just celebrated 15 years in business on May 9th. So
congratulations. And the name of your company?
Royal Design Build.
And how did you come up with that?
It's even a longer story.
Oh.
Don't really have a great story for it. So it came about in the midst of, this is crazy. What are we doing? And I think there was a bottle of something in front of us.
Mm. Crown Royal.
And then
am I right?
Yeah. My neighbor was the one who joked about it. You should go this route. And so originally one of the things that we had was Kaiser, which is a Christian terminology. It's a German Christian terminology. So somehow Royal came into play and then it just kind of stuck after that. So, and then it is, once you brand something, you can't rebrand or unbrand, you know, at that point.
No, you're in.
So we were in it. So here we are, Royal Design Build. We started as Royal Homes and have maintained that. Royal Design Build really fit us better because that's what we do, design, build, custom. So that's where we are.
Build on your own lot.
Congratulations.
Build on your lot. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So that's us in a nutshell. And my wife's still my cheerleader, still she rolling is. Her eyes most days at like this crazy world that we all live in. So
it's you, Katie, and your three children.
Mm-hmm. I have three now.
Yes. Hands
two full. Girls. Again, God loves the jokes. So he gives me girls.
Are you still in the Chesmar home?
Nope.
It was a Lennar.
Lennar.
That was Lennar then.
Oh. Yeah, it was back in the day.
Yeah, it was even before.
Chesmar wasn't.
Yeah. That was before Don moved over.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have since moved a couple times since then. We're now in Montgomery. So we've.
One of his homes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this makes sense. Yeah. You were the guinea pig, or one of the guinea pigs maybe for your.
I live on acres now, so we got horses.
Oh.
We got
the look.
Yeah, we've always had horses. I got my first horses when I was actually at A&M. I lived on 3,000 acres there. So
3,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
Which some days, you know, you wish you could go back to what you had. You should know what you had. One of those deals. So
that's amazing.
But yeah, we love it. A lot of fun. Met a lot of great people on the way. You know, that's the one thing I love about this industry. You do meet a lot of great people. No matter where your journey goes, no matter where your path's going to be, there's just so many good people along the way. If you'll just take time to stop and listen to them and talk to them. And, you know, everyone wants to help. That's what I think's something uniquely different I feel about Houston than I see in any other part of the country. People want people to do well. People want to help.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, even in our industry, I don't see the competition here quite like I see in other places.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think people understand that the Houston market is such a beautiful thing to be a part of, that there is enough for everyone to be able to just complete your purpose and not compete.
Yep.
So,
Even starting a company, you know, as hard as it is, it doesn't come without a lot of people helping you. It's a, you know, that whole, it takes a village.
For sure.
There's no lie about that. It takes a village.
It does.
And so, you know, even my former boss, just a great guy, Randy Pogue, was a guy that I had just really grown to love and respect. The way he operates his company and the way he treats his employees, just there was really no reason to leave other than I just really wanted to try something new and own my own.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he knew that. It's funny. I remember being so nervous walking to his office telling him what I was doing.
Aww.
And he even made the comment, I knew you weren't going to be long term. I knew when I hired you, you just had that entrepreneurial spirit in you. He was like, I kind of had a feeling this would come someday. And he was like, let me help. And he handed me a lot of documents, sent me a lot of the stuff
incredible.
That, you know, even our employee handbook. Here we are 15 years later. Aww. That Word document actually was probably, I think, from him. And it's just been revised a few times throughout the years.
Right.
But I think the origination of that is actually from him. So it's just kind of funny how that works out in life. You know, it's and again, I don't believe in coincidences. I'll never be the guy who believes in coincidences. I'm a firm believer that God has a hand in all the crazy things that happen. And the fact that we live in a city of almost 8 million people now, and yet you'll still run into all these people you know and all the connections that are so tight.
This industry is crazy to me. It's so small.
Price,
I mean,
I
hence
about
y'all
that.
Sitting at the same table.
Isn't that so wild?
Buying
so
a home.
So Chrissy's a friend, my salesperson.
The whole thing.
Like, what do you want it to be?
We have mutual rodeo friends. Yes. Yes.
It is wild.
It's a very small world. I know. And again, all the think back of the young man that walked into my office and I'm looking at him, contingency, no job. But sure, I believe in you starting your own business. Yeah. You got this. So, yes.
If it makes you feel any better, I thought the same thing a couple times. What are we doing? What are we doing? And I, you
all
know,
right, I'll take
that's how you know you're on the right track.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. It's
I'm
humorous
here
now.
It.
Like, I wish we could have recorded some of the conversations driving north on 45 after that day. Because there, I mean, it wasn't a whole lot of conversation, but.
But the few words that were spoken.
Those few words were.
They were impactful.
Okay. So, my big question, because this part of the story I don't know, is so you come to Houston, you start your successful custom build company. What led you to be a part of GHBA? Like, how did that come about?
I have a servant's heart. There's no doubt about it. I love to serve. I enjoy working with people. I think it's why most of us are probably actually in this industry. As much as we'll complain about it on the back end, you know, when somebody calls and there's a need, everybody I know is like, let's go. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
And again, I go back to that Houston, you know, when people talk about Houston strong and Houston's resilient, it really is.
It's very
we
true.
We are a unique breed of individuals, but I think the Greater Houston Builder Association is comprised of a lot of that same spirit. When there's a need, everybody just jumps in. And so as a builder, you know, you become a member of it, and that's just kind of normal. I think everybody just says, oh, you should be a member of it. And then you get invited to these things. And I actually started going to education classes. That's where I kind of got my start with that, because I have almost all the designations you can have from graduate, master builder, and on. And it really... So Texas is unique. We don't have licensing. We're one of three states that does not have contractors' licenses, and most people don't know that. And so I felt like as a way to, you know, maybe separate yourself from your competition, you get your professional designations. So that's where it started. People have asked me this year, what made you want to be president? I don't think there was ever a time that I said, I'm going to be president of this thing. I don't recall ever even thinking that I would be. It's ironic because you don't run for it. It's not an office that you run. It's an appointment.
Okay.
So we have a leadership development committee, and I've now, of course, been on it. And it's interesting because it's something that you look for the up-and-coming leaders. You look for the ones that are dedicated, that have that, you know, whatever it is, right? And we keep kind of a short list of that. And that's eventually how we end up selecting our president. So to get that is humbling. You know, number one, when I got the phone call, I thought I was actually getting, there's a good story on that one. I thought I was getting chastised, and when instead I was getting asked to be president. So I call Amy. Amy's our CEO. We call them executive officers. Amy is one of the best in the country by far. And I had just had a deal with Morgan Luttrell. And I had made a joke because anybody knows when I speak, let's have a little laugh. Like, life's too short to not smile. And we try not to be so political one side or the other. So you're not going to, you know, I'm wearing a cowboy hat. What do you think? And so, and if you know anything about Morgan Luttrell.
Yes, a lot.
Morgan's not real shy about his words either.
He's not.
And I made a joke in front of everybody at a luncheon, and it was about who really won the 2016 presidential election. And before he opened his mouth, I'm like, just kidding, don't answer that question. Like, of all things, don't answer that one. And I got everybody to laugh a little bit. It was fun. About 30 minutes into this, I realized our executive officer's in the back of the room, and I didn't know she had slipped in. And I'm like, oh, great. Like, here I am up here emceeing this thing.
I'm going to get that phone call later.
So when that next couple of days happened, and Sherry, my office and office manager, says, hey, Amy's on the phone for you. And I'm like, I know what this is about.
Yes, I was waiting on this call.
I had a feeling.
Let's get it over
And I remember thinking, like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. I'll get my hand slapped. And that's when she tells me, hey, you've been selected. We would really like to be honored for you to be our president 2024, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, maybe you weren't in the room like I thought you were last week.
Or you loved my joke.
Are you sure? Yeah.
It sealed the deal for you.
So there was never really a point in time where I really thought that I would be worthy of running. I mean, this is the, you know, member-wise, we're the third largest in the country and number one in activities. So we have 221 events this year. It's a constant, and that's just, gosh, that's just what we do in Houston. And so I'm also a life director for the Texas Association of Builders. I got that last year. That's 8 years of service to Texas. I serve on Texas Builders Foundation. I do all our scholarship committee stuff there.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm
I feel like we're slacking, Price.
We are.
I got jumped in real fast, and it's funny because, you know, number one thing that we do is advocacy. We're trying to keep home prices low, mm-hmm. try to keep regulations as down as we can. If not, we need to get rid of a lot of them, but that's neither here nor there. And so we do spend some time in D.C. I'll be back in D.C. in 2 weeks, so I'll be meeting with congressmen up there.
My goodness, so
a lot of politics is involved in this position, mm-hmm. and I love it. You know, it's one thing to fight for your own business. It's another thing to fight for all Houstonians.
Yes.
Correct.
And that's what I feel like I'm getting to do finally.
Which even is Texans, fun. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I do. I spend some time in Austin. So I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, you lack sleep, you lack a lot of other things, but it's that feeling of every time you do something or get to be a part of something, it's that warm, fuzzy, like, this is what needs to happen. This mm-hmm. is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And when I say, like, you know, differently than fighting for your own business, we're fighting for all the homeowners in Houston now.
Yes.
You know, we're all competing against home prices and the rising cost of everything. And, yeah. you know, now you got the interest rates to deal with. We got so many things going against us. But unless somebody decides to speak up and really go hammer down, they're just going to keep doing it. You know, when 23% of our home right now is tied up in governmental regulation. When you look at the cost of a home, 23% right now is tied up to that. And so how can we get that number down? How can we, you know, and I keep saying, even if we got 10% out of this deal, so you have to have some regulation, right? We can't be the Wild
of course,
Wild West.
We're
not 1901 anymore.
No.
we can't do that. So we don't want to get too far away from this deal. But the reality is it is partly my job now and our team to make sure that those voices are heard. And coming from a builder and a developer, you know, we want to make sure that they understand this, that when they're making decisions, they're hurting people. And I say they loosely. Obviously, I'm talking about governmental entities.
Right. Sure.
Because everybody thinks, oh, it's just 500 here, just 500 here.
Right.
Right. We'll just tack on a little bit of a tax here. This permit fee's going up. You know, some of these permitting fees, some of these impact fees that us as builders are dealing with, and the homeowners never see this. There are some places that are over $20,000 in just permit fees.
Jeez.
And so when you start having that level, what do you think happens? It gets passed on to the buyer.
Correct. Yeah. The affordability for the market.
The developer's not going,
there
like,
is
I'll just need a $20,000 bill on every lot.
There's a huge strain on that.
And so, and that is something that is swept under the rug so easily by politicians that I feel like they do not understand when they make these decisions. And part of it, when I talk to a lot of them, it's funny because if you say the decision you're about to vote on, you're about to knock 1.7 million people nationwide out of a mortgage.
Yes.
All of a sudden, that's a number they can conjugate.
Correct.
And they're like, wait, wait, wait. So they didn't know that yet. So part of our job is to educate them on these things that they're about mm-hmm. to do.
Well, we are thankful for you.
Yeah, very thankful for that.
That's... I like a good argument every once in a while, too. So
slaps on that cowboy hat. He's ready to go.
He's ready for Congress.
He is. Yeah. But I think that's the beauty of having you here today is because normally here we are speaking with builders specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You bring a new perspective speaking builders as a whole.
It's very global.
Very much
very
so
global
in
perspective.
Your role and just more of that drone footage of the Houston market more so than builder specific. And so
we've got to keep Houston affordable. That's
yes.
Period. End of
Agreed.
Story.
We do.
I mean, other places do too, but I'm not worried about them. Let's
no,
worry about Houston.
They have their own men who are
Rivenstein.
Yes, but not with cowboy hats.
No,
they have their people.
That's
without
what
cowboy
we enjoy
hats.
About ours for sure. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. So, like I said, we knew you were busy. I didn't realize you were that busy.
I like being busy.
That's a lot.
Is there anything that you could recommend to industry people such as us or home builders here in Houston? Is there anything that you could recommend that we can do to help?
Well, it's what y'all are already doing.
Okay.
Y'all showing up. That's what matters.
Showing up.
You know, what is it? The famous quote, 90% of the world is run by those who just show up.
I mean, we say 50% is just showing up and 50% of this
that's
position
it.
Is just
yeah,
showing
y'all
up.
Y'all are so involved in GHBA and all the activities mm-hmm. that we have going on. And what that really does is it helps give us, you know, especially like home pack fundraisers and different things.
Yeah.
People always wonder, like, where's that money go? Well, it's helping us when we find, you know, we endorse candidates oftentimes that are pro-housing, that are, you know, anti adding taxes to everything. So we vet those out. We actually meet with all the candidates in different political races around Houston, whether it be local or, you know, sometimes we get really involved in the state level with our PACs there. But we're endorsing those candidates so that we can keep housing on the forefront. I mean, that's what's going to make us where we're at. That's what runs the economy. It's, you know, 17% of our mm-hmm. GDP is home building. So, like, it is one of the biggest sectors that we've really got to protect. And if we just let every politician have its way, then we're never going to be able to afford a thing. You know?
I guess I didn't realize that the GHBA was so involved politically on the state level. That's news to me. Yeah. And I love hearing it.
I do, too.
I mean, it makes showing up and attending the events, while we love them, obviously you saw us at Battle of the Builders. We love it.
We enjoy a good time.
We love a good time with our builder friends.
But know that it goes to such a cause with a purpose for our clients. Industry and our clients. Yeah. It helps us put the word out there that, yes, we're going to show up. All of our builder partners, this is why you're showing up.
Yeah.
It makes a difference.
And if you're not a member of GHBA, you need to become
Here's my shameless plug. We need you to go on there.
But, I don't even think it's a plug. I think I might be speaking for everybody in Houston.
You go right ahead. Go ahead.
I don't think many industry professionals are aware of this. I've been in the industry now 13 years. I've been privy to GHBA and the events probably for about 10 of those. Mm-hmm. I had no idea until you just said that at this moment. So I think knowing and getting the word out might be something, and maybe you guys do, and again, I might be naive to this, but I feel like most people, most sales consultants, most real estate agents are not aware of the impact that GHBA makes for our clients and our industry as a whole. Here in Houston to help people be able to afford a home.
Correct.
And a lot of people feel like, and I've run into this, where they're like, I don't know what I'm doing in politics. I don't know that. You don't have to. That's the best part. You don't have to know what you're doing in politics. Just know what you do every day.
Yeah,
what
industry.
Is your job, you know?
Yeah.
And one thing that we do every other year, so we have what we call Rally Day, and that's at the Capitol, State Capitol. So we take a bus from Houston. Actually, we take three now.
Crazy.
So we break up into groups, and it's all given to you. So don't feel like anybody who shows up, and anybody who's a member can come on. But we go meet at the steps in front of – it's during their construction week there. But we actually meet with our state reps and all our legislators in small groups. Usually you're going to get about three or so to meet with. And occasionally they'll meet with a staffer or something like that. But you sit down with these guys, and you're at the state capitol. We have them all very timed out. So you're going to, it's fun. It's a party on the way there, work when you're there, and party on the way home. I won't tell you what's on those buses, but there's a reason we take buses.
It's a good time.
So, you know, when you get there though, a lot of times people have never been to the state capitol. They don't even know what it's like to walk in the doors and actually meet with some of our state reps.
Wow.
It's a great opportunity to learn how laws are done, you know, made, how bills are proposed. If you're not, most people don't follow it. I have an app, so I'm watching all these bills that get thrown out there. But for the average person, how does it impact you? And that's what you need to do, is sit down with these legislators and say, I'm a realtor, or I'm a builder, or I'm a salesperson in this. Like, how does this impact your family and your business? Because they need to hear from the constituents, because that tells them how to vote.
Well, even if you're not into politics, which a lot of people tend to stray away from these days just because of how volatile it can become. Yeah. But just the politics that are involved in your own industry, I think, could be a little different if people were aware that they could have this voice
100%.
Through the GHBA. So I love this. I love knowing this. It definitely makes me want us as a business to continue to participate and even find new ways to participate with the GHBA, because of course we work with all the builders in Houston, but we work with a lot of clients, and knowing that we could help you guys with these bills and these laws that are coming to fruition to make homes more affordable for people. I mean, I think being a part of that is something that feels like even bigger than myself.
Strength in numbers is always big, especially in politics. You know, obviously, they're going to listen to the loudest voices. But, you know, when you go
put
to this
Durrett
thing,
there, then she loud.
I'm in. Sign me up. When is this best ride?
She does not need a megaphone.
So this is going to be one of those things that we make it so easy for you too, because we have an incredible staff at the GHBA. You're going to walk in, they're going to have a folder with your name on it. Here's our main topics that we're really worried about, and, you know, the things that we know is coming up that's going to be voted on. And then it's, how does it impact us? We give all the information to you, Of course, you're going to have your own inflection because you've probably dealt with it at some point in your industry.
Sure.
And then when we meet with them, it's usually groups of anywhere from 7 to 10 people kind of working a group. And you might have 3 meetings that day with different legislators in the Capitol building. And it's really, if you've never even been there, because, I mean, the average person is not going to go to Austin and just walk in and talk to their state rep, Will Metcalf. No, you know,
not
I mean,
so low. There's not a lot there.
Not many people are just going to, like, walk into the deal. No. So no. This is a great intro. And what we find is that when people go to this, they continually come every 2 years. It's like it sucks That's you in so because cool. It's so interesting because you really understand the process of how things come from a small little seed and all of a sudden become a bill that now is being turned into regulations that now is affecting all of our money and it affects, you know, home ownership. Really, I mean, that's what we're really always trying to protect is just home ownership in general. So a lot of times, you know, and it doesn't help when I hate to bring this up, but stuff that's happened like with NAR this past year, you know, all these things that just, I think the public just gets a different skewed vision of. You have the ability, because we get some stuff that people go, oh, you know, these buildings, we always get something against us. It's an opportunity for you to really be educated on what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem with politics now is everybody just says what they hear and not what they actually know.
Correct. They see a video on the internet and think that that's the whole story.
I think everything is like, you know, since we're talking about dating ourselves, is like the game of telephone. You tell one person, tells one person. By the time it gets to that 10th or 12th or 18th person,
it's a different phrase.
Everything's changed. And I feel like this way, you're going straight to that source. You're getting to see it firsthand. You're getting the facts firsthand. And then it's really great. It'll give you a little bit of feel good when your legislator is going, I agree with you on that, you know, and you feel like you've convinced him that really, hey, you need to vote yay or nay on this deal. Here's why. And oftentimes when they can just see that passion in you, you know, to feel like you've done something in the industry more than just got a paycheck and provided for your family. It makes you come back for more.
That's really cool. I said, you know, it's something that is just bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. It's even bigger than the city of Houston if it's for the whole state. So if a member or a builder, if they wanted to be a part of that, how do they even go about?
Call me.
Really?
I got you covered.
So reach out directly to the president.
So any member of the GHBA. So let's say I work for a home builder and we're a member of the GHBA. If I wanted to get my group, because we have a lot of people who watch us who work for home builders, and if they're watching this and they want to be involved, you know, what would be their first step to be involved?
So a simple phone call. GHBA, we're easy to find. All of us are pretty easy to find. Mm-hmm. You know, we are unique. We represent almost 1,700 member companies. So as a member, if your company is a member, by default, all employees are members too. So any employee can go.
Okay.
So that makes it nice too. Because a lot of times, you know, I say some of the head guys, you know, they get busy, they're swamped. And so but they'll have somebody else that can go, at least as a representative of the company.
Yeah. Even so 5 people easy. From, you know, ex builder going. Sure. I mean, if you had 5 people from every builder going to this, it would be the 5 people who are interested in going.
And y'all know our events. We don't exactly just sit around and have a boring time. So there's not many events that you don't walk away, you know, having some laughs, some fun, usually a drink or two. And, you know, you meet friends. Some of the best people that I know are from the GHBA in my years there. Just good people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that you can call on. You know in the heartbeat, like, if something happens, I know who to call next.
Yep.
And I love that. I love that you've got that. That was something that really I struggled with as a young home builder when I came into the industry. It was, I remember the GHBA first was like, why am I sharing my secrets? You know, like I knew everything about everything. Why would I share what I do with another home builder? Because we're competitors. And it is so far from that.
It is.
Which is so crazy. I mean, because now I look at it, I'm like, I hope every one of us just does really well.
Yeah.
And it's very much I call it kind of that 12th man syndrome, that A&M thing. You know, we're just a big family there.
Yeah.
And that's something that's, again, very unique when you have an industry that otherwise in other places you'll find is very competitive with each other. We're not. We're, how can I help you? You know, somebody will call me, do you have any lots? No, I don't. But I know somebody who does. Let me get you in touch with them. And it's, you're just always trying to help people. Mm-hmm. And I love, and how many people helped me and continue to help me when I need something, you know, and that's rare. That's rare to find these days.
Love that.
I love all of this.
I do too. I'm proud that TM is a part of GHBA.
I want TM to go to the Capitol.
Okay.
TM should be at the Capitol.
I'm asking you a lot yeah. a lot of these questions yes. for the viewers, because yeah. I feel like a lot of viewers will want to do this too.
Well, and but again, to what you spoke to, that not a lot of the audience, I don't think, is aware of ability to participate.
I think if you polled your members and asked if they knew all of this that you just told us, I would venture to guess that maybe a little bit more than half of them don't realize this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have not heard this about the GHB, and I'm very impressed with what you've told us today.
Yep. Our number one thing we talk about is advocacy, and that's what we mean with that. So, no, we'd love to have y'all. Y'all be great assets for it.
Oh, we'd be cheerleaders. We would be in the Capitol with pom-poms.
That's what we need, right?
Fighting for our clients, fighting for our builders.
Right. Yes.
Jared would be present, but not with pom-poms.
No. He would have his notebook, though, his journal with his diary. All of his notes.
We take all kinds. It's a lot of fun. You know, it really.
We'll put Jared in a cowboy hat.
Not the
white one. Okay. Jared has this white cowboy hat, and it is atrocious.
We had to give him a hard time about it.
What's wrong with the white cowboy
hat? Well, we are real sure where he got it.
It doesn't fit him.
Okay.
It just doesn't suit him. You know, he needs a dark cowboy hat like yours. You know what? We need to get you and Jared together. And you guys need to go shopping for a cowboy hat for Jared. Because I don't think Jared knows what his cowboy hat style is.
Okay. Hey, we got it covered. I got a guy.
You know people.
I feel like you have a guy for everything. Yes. You just have a person somewhere here in the state of Texas probably. That can help us with your connections from A&M and the DFW area here, GHBA,
real estate industry.
We're in the same boat, right? We don't meet many strangers.
No.
I tell everybody, I can make friends with this wall right here.
Like,
we'll find a way to high-five. By the time this is over, me and that wall will be high-fiving.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go have dinner together.
Between me, Dorette, and Jared, if we meet somebody, one of us has known them for years.
Yes.
And it's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
crazy how it works that
way. There's so much negativity in this world. If that's the worst thing we got going, then so be
that's
it.
That's right. Yes.
Well, I really love everything that you have brought to our show today. This was very enlightening, very eye-opening, and I'm very proud that Turner Mangum is a member of the GHBA hearing all of this, and I think it has given at least me a newfound sense of wanting to become more involved.
Y'all are great members, and that should be your plug for Be Like Turner Mangum.
Oh,
there you go, right there.
We enjoy the parties and the fun of GHBA, but I think knowing the more serious things that you guys do for Houston as a whole in the industry, it was very enlightening, and it does make me proud to have been a member of the GHBA for so long, but it also gives me that newfound sense of wanting to do more for our city and our builders and our developers, and knowing that we can have a voice. Yeah. I think viewers knowing that they can have a voice just by being a member
can make a difference.
It can make a huge difference.
Even stuff like the behind the scenes that a lot of people don't even see with us is, I'll just use yesterday for example. I was down in Houston with Commissioner Briones. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Harris County Commissioners. Wonderful lady. She's incredible. But we had, as Texas Builders Foundation, there was a vote that went about how do we help Houston? Obviously, after our storms last week, we had a lot of issues.
Yeah, for sure.
And of course, seems like they're getting worse. I don't know.
They are getting worse.
Well, like they're getting crazier. So there was
modification.
There was some money that was moved around to say, hey, and we got to go take that to her yesterday. And it's just a nice
wonderful.
Check to say, this is Precinct 4. We're just donating this money to you guys.
Wow.
What can y'all do with it? And it's, you know,
just knowing that the money
had a
that
tiny
we
little hand
yeah,
in that.
Our membership, you know, even paying to have a tent at Battle of the Builders, it might seem like, you know, just like a small thing that you're doing just to be a part of that event. Yeah. But knowing that it goes to causes like that, I love hearing all of this.
Well, and one of the things she had said when we left, which I love, because, you know, you never really ask, what are you using the money for, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's never a question.
Goes to a good
but
cause.
In politics, you're like, it's not going to your pocket, I know. So where is it really going?
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many legalities about it can't be used if it's not a campaign fund. It can't be used
of
for
course.
Campaign. So they'd even told us, look, the money's probably going to go. One of the things that was different about this storm is that we weren't really ever prepared for this.
No.
We didn't have water on hand. We didn't have sunscreen for volunteers that were helping out in the streets this past weekend. We didn't have towels. We didn't have gloves. We didn't have anything. And so they were like, we can go purchase all that and have it in storage with this money. so that we will have another storm. It's
and you'll
Houston,
be prepared.
And they're going to be more prepared now to help help their precinct.
They
and
I are.
Thought, that's really cool. Like you know, you wonder who does that. Where does that come from? I mean, how many times in my life do I think like somebody had to think that?
Yes.
I just love to be a small part of that. And so,
good
so
job.
Behind the scenes, people don't see that start.
They don't.
They don't.
No,
we met with Liberty Judge Knight the other day, as well as Mr. Trey Duhon or Judge Duhon out in there in Waller County. So we try to make those connections so that when our members and everybody goes out in these counties and we're developing and we're building, we want to strengthen those relationships to say, how do we keep this affordable? You know, how do we keep y'all from doing certain things as well? And they're, you know, again, great guys. That's the part. I think politicians, as a quote,
they have a bad rep.
They really do.
They have a bad rep.
But when you really sit down and meet with them
and make it a personable connection,
they really are good people. They just need to be informed.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and that's part of GHBA's job. We have to inform them.
Well, and they're not in this every single day like we are. So they rely on people like you or the members to tell them these things. So that's so important that you know the advocacy that you've spoken to today about GHBA is so needed to be shouted from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. I feel like for the builders, I mean, I can't wait to tell builders what
excited.
You do.
Yeah.
And like I said, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
And this is,
and we have fun
news.
Along the way. That's, yes. that's
we do.
Remember. We have fun along the way.
Well, and I'm interested in these bus rides to Austin.
We are going to make a phone call.
Unfortunately,
there
are iPhones now. Be careful.
No, and when you get on the bus, when you get on the bus,
iPhones,
you drop.
Actually.
No, I will not make an iPhone call.
But when you get on the bus, you drop your phone in a box.
That's it. You know what? Maybe we should do this.
There you go. When you get on the bus, what happens on the GHBA bus stays on the GHBA bus.
So, quick question before we start to wrap things up. But how long are you? I guess not in office.
It's a sitting president.
What is that? 1 year.
1 year. So you're technically, you have 5 total years that you're on what we consider our executive board. And so this is technically going to be my 4th, and I'll be immediate past president next year. So you still serve in a pretty decent capacity at that point.
Okay,
so.
Good. Because I feel like we need you
serving. I'm not going anywhere.
On a platform somewhere. So
can you have a second term? Is that a...
We have actually had 2 presidents in our 83-year history that have had 2 terms.
Okay.
And
who
so,
is that?
Mike Dishberger was our last one. So okay. He just had one. We had one of our executive officers pass away unexpectedly. Oh, no. So I had an opportunity to scoot up and felt like it was better to have somebody with a little more tenure. And so Mike took the reins and did it again and did a great job. And he's wonderful. If you think that I'm involved in things, that guy right there. I don't know if he actually does sleep. I've wondered that all the time. I think he works 24/7, but an incredible guy.
Gosh.
He is Sandcastle Homes out of Houston.
Okay.
And so just a great guy. He knows 20 times more people than I do, and it's just fun to be around. And that's the thing. You get around these people, you know, even y'all, it makes you want to elevate yourself,
it really
right?
Does.
It always, every
it
time
does.
We meet people in this industry, it's what's fun about it. It's like, I see somebody, I'm like, gosh, they never stop. I need to not stop too.
Wow.
And it does. It kind of makes you raise your bar.
It does.
Because you see other people raising theirs. And,
yes.
And that's a lot of what we do. And Mike's a great guy to follow. He's our current immediate past president. So I get around him a lot.
We are so thankful for you guys.
I love it.
This
love
is
it.
Awesome.
And thank you so much for all wisdom and information about GHBA today. And of course, sharing your story. We loved learning more about you too.
Well, thank y'all.
We're
for everything. I appreciate
everything
y'all.
That you do.
It's fun to think 15 years ago or however many years ago here we were.
I know.
Just meeting, and now I'm sitting here on a microphone with you.
So wild! I'm so proud of you.
I feel
your
like
family.
We should have Katie right here.
We should have Katie
I want,
right
I want
here.
I want to have Katie tell her side of the story because it's even funnier to hear it from that angle. I bet that you know somebody who's going. We did what?
Yeah, we're doing.
And then the crazier part of that whole story was that she got that job. And then was teacher of the year in Conner ISD at her school.
Oh my goodness!
Because his wife is amazing.
My wife is amazing.
Amazing.
I can't con another one to marry me. So we're gonna stay with what we got. She is.
Sticking
she was
with it.
Teacher of the year in Melissa. Then moved to Conner ISD and became teacher of the year there. 9 years stay at home mom, and now is back to teaching in Montgomery ISD. So
good for her.
So we'll see where that goes.
Good for her.
That was she tried to work for me for a few months. That's not.
Yeah. No. I mean, maybe, but
yeah.
Well,
let her teach the children.
Yes.
That's right.
She's amazing at what she does.
I've seen it too many times, so I completely understand. It's just, you know, you got to kind of separate church and state a little bit.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think if you start one together, if you start a business truly together, like you have roles that are defined.
Yeah.
You know, I see people at work and I'm kind of envious of it because I'm like, oh, they do amazing jobs. Mm-hmm. But coming in.
And you don't see the behind the scenes of that either. Yeah.
And look, she was always like the office mom, you know, when we had rough days. She was the one that would make sure we had snacks or we had lunch or, you know, that the office stayed running pretty well. Like, she was always like that person, you know, that when she came in, we were all happy. So it was nice. So she tried to work, you know, our youngest went to school, back to school, and she didn't know if teaching was going to be where she wanted. But it's funny that God always has a way of showing up and telling you what you really need to know.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't even apply for it. It was one of those, hey, we have an open position and we heard you were 2-time teacher of the year and an Aggie teacher on top of that. Why are you not teaching? And I'm like, she'll take the job. I mean, I'm hollering. Like, she wants it. So
she wants it. You just start, like, you get in her email. Yeah. Accepted.
Yes.
So it's great though. I love it. I love seeing that passion in her, you know, talking about, even though she's not in our industry, even somebody that makes you want to raise your bar, it's nice to be married to somebody like that. That's what she wants to do, you know.
I agree.
I always say if you have a kid, that's the kind of teacher you want your kids to have. You know, she's passionate about it. She never quits. I don't think we make much money because I think we buy more snacks than we probably make in our paycheck, but that's neither here nor there. that's another sore subject. We don't really do this for any money, I don't think.
No, it's for the snacks.
I love it.
Yeah, there should be a shirt. It's for the snacks. That sounds like a good teacher shirt y'all can pass out.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great teacher motto for sure.
So, I'm very blessed to have her around.
Well, tell her I said hello.
Will do.
Thank you again for taking time out of your uber busy schedule to come and share this knowledge and information and your story with us.
Thank y'all for y'all's time. Love all that y'all do for us and for our industry. Y'all are amazing people. So thank you.
Thank you. All righty.
Thank you, Seth.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
We're out.